They took 10 lads away, put us in an intense crane and course, got us qualified.
This is the FA, is it?
The FA and Referees Association and Premier and PFA. It was all a combined effort of trying to get ex-players into the game. I knew I wanted to stay in the game in a capacity, and I just saw it's another avenue. Out of them 10 players, I think within 3 months I was the only one left. Once we qualified, after we'd been taken away and qualified for that week, done the intense training course, we then had to come back, register with your local referees association, and I started in the Rochdale and Middleton Sunder League. I was playing on a Saturday and reffing on a Sunday, and I think a lot of the other lads who were on the course thought, oh, we'll pass this course and we'll start refereeing the reserves, being on the line for the first team straight away. No, you had to do the hard yards. And I'll honestly say, when I was started my refereeing, I'm really glad I did them, because it's a great apprenticeship doing that. Cut long story short, I got promoted the year after, and the next stage of my development was to go line in the conference and referee in the middle of what was the Northern Premier League then, now, whatever it's called now. But obviously, I was still playing. I had a contract at Macclesfield Town. And then when we had the meeting about packing in playing, because obviously then I would have a referee on Saturday afternoons, I've got to be brutally honest, I think I've said this before, I was slightly disappointed, because I'd never earned enough money in my playing career to pack in playing. I had a wife, two children, a mortgage. And to go from then saying, oh yeah, go referee on a Saturday and get 80 quid a game, pack up playing and yeah, you'll get through. So I was looking for a little bit of financial support from maybe one of them organisations, I don't know, and nothing was forthcoming. At the same time, done me coaching badges. So by the time in 1998-99, I was on my A licence. So Andy Ritchie then gets the job here. Yeah. Got along. So I'd known Andy from my early days here at Oldham. Always fantastic man, being friends. What you doing? What's happening with the refereeing? I would have given it a go. But what's happening with you at Macclesfield? Well, we've got promoted. I'm talking to Sammy McElroy about potentially extending my contract. Well, blah, blah, blah. Billy Ermson, I'm looking for a youth team coach. Do you fancy it?
But did you enjoy the refereeing side of it?
I did. All me feedback I used to get and me assessors' reports and all that, well, you're too friendly with the players, you're too close to them, you've got to distance yourself. And I understand that slightly, but I think the fact straight away, and this is nothing against any referee now, I think the fact that when I ran out on that pitch, whether it was a Sunday or a Saturday, and I refereed a game, the fact that I was a player still playing the game, I felt I got instant respect. I think a lot of decisions that I made that normal lads playing on a Saturday and Sunday would have normally challenged, they didn't. Because I'd then watch other referees in action, similar to my ilk, you know, with the lads who I used to mix around with, especially in the Middleton Sunder League, and watch them referee games and think, God, I referee this team. That's what he'd have untold problems. And I'm not saying it was because of me, but I just think it was because that question decisions he made, and I'd made the same decision the week before, but they didn't question it. So I think that was the respect thing. Listen, I refereed to the letter of the law. I booked players, I sent players off. I kept fit, I worked hard, and I saw an opportunity. Whether I didn't realise it was going to be like it is today with professional referees, but I saw an opportunity to stay in the game, and more than anything, that's what I wanted to do. But unfortunately, it hit a bit of a brick wall in that time, and I chose to go down the coaching route.
I don't think anybody else has done it, have they? I don't think there have been any former players who played to a good standard like you did who have gone into referee. Why is that, Tony? And how important is it that that is addressed in the future? Because it seems, as from what you're saying there, that players do have more respect for ex-players. You can turn around to the player and say, look, you know, I've made the right call because I've been a player myself in that situation.
I think it's when you say why not, I think it's the time. I think obviously there's age limits on referees. I think, I've got to be honest, some players, like you said, that group of players I done it with originally in 98 just thought, like I repeat myself, thought, oh, I'll get this qualification. I'll be doing the reserves next week. I'll be in the Football League in 2 years. There's a process you've got to go through. You've got to go through the levels.
But should it not be fast-tracked a bit more? To try and get pro footballers into refereeing a bit quicker.
But I think with the way I didn't have the academy system then, as there is now, they could maybe be integrated earlier into the academy system so they've got better quality games, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's like everything. Honestly, I've done it. Them early years I done in Clayton playing fields, at Middleton, on a Sunday morning, were invaluable. I made so many mistakes. Ball watching. Watching the game and talking to the lads about how they played rather than refereeing it. My positional sense, yeah. Running the diagonals, being wrong side, checking my shoulder, is he offside? And the linesman would be stood next to me. I'm thinking, oh, sugar, I should be the other side of the pitch looking along the line. You can't replicate that. But you do need time. I honestly don't think I could have done it and then been in the Football League in 2 or 3 years. I don't think I could. I think that's probably impossible. And the Referees Association are probably saying the same, and I probably will back them in that. It's time. It's when them players, if you've got a player who's had 10, 15 years in the game and he comes out of the game and he's late 20s, early 30s, is he going to have the time to then get the experience at the lower levels? And then is he prepared then to wait then 3 or 4 years and then go in at Unibond level and Conference North level and Conference Prem level? So there's 4 years straight away. Mm. But before that, you need a good year's experience at the lower level. So even then, you're looking 3, 4, fast track, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our players prepared to do that. It's tough. Then I know there's talk about, you got your apprentices who don't get pro contracts and they come out of the game at 19, 20. Then they target them, which isn't a bad idea, but they've never really had the experience of the pro game,
true,
have they?
True.
So if they're coming out the game and have had 2 or 3 years at the programme, 23, 24, they're the ones maybe I think should be targeted. But what you've got to remember is when I was asked to do it, when I was coming out my contract in 1998, I think I was 33 year old, is the need financial backing. I'd have loved to have done it, honestly, I'd given it a go. But I couldn't have survived on £80 a week, if you know what I mean.
Course,
I couldn't. It's just it was financially impossible. You know what I'm saying? So I think somehow they'd have to find a way of funding a group of players there if they're going to do it to take them through.